That's what you get for depending on technology. I've done so many of these kinds of things through the years that it is invariable that something will go wrong with technology. So just please bear with us, if you will, because I think for this particular lesson, it is going to be a good thing to have it. I think you will see why as soon as we can get all this working. But I want you to know I can preach without it. And we need to be able to do that as well. There's lots of situations on earth where you don't have this kind of wonderful aid. But if we have it, we'd sure like to use it. So while he's finishing that up, let me have your attention as I introduce the lesson for this evening. And I want to say again what a pleasure it's been to be with you. It's been an absolute joy to reestablish acquaintances with a lot of you and to get to know a lot of new folks. I was privileged at lunch today to go around to about five different tables and get to hear your stories about who you are and what you're about, and it's a great blessing. I intend to take lots of notes when I get home tonight, try to pull from my mind everything I've been told so I can go home and tell Marilyn all about every one of you and let her be a part of this. So, thank you so much for coming tonight and being here for this last in this series. And as you know, the series has been entitled Christians Facing a Corrupting Culture. So I want to put a ribbon around that tonight this way. I want to talk to you tonight about something we can do about our corrupting culture that all of us can be a part in. And that God calls us to this. And in fact, I am told by the Lord that I need to feel a responsibility about this. And I hope you will too, maybe even to a higher level than you already have. So turn with me to Matthew 28 as a beginning place tonight. Matthew chapter 28. Okay, am I going to click with that or do you have to use the mouse? This. Okay, let's try it. Okay, good. You are good. And I have a special request for everyone this evening. When you get through with the service tonight, everybody please go hug that man. Just thank him so much for dealing with this emergency and getting us up and going here. This is wonderful. All right, Matthew 28, are you there? Verse 18, then Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so the Lord has said to all of us through that passage that we all have a responsibility to communicate God's word to the whole world. Now you may say, when I look at that passage, he was speaking to the 12 apostles, actually the 11 apostles at that time. And so how does that apply to me? Well, it applies to you because if you're a baptized believer, based on verse 19, then verse 20 tells you that they were to teach you to keep all the commandments that I have given to those 11 apostles. And among those commandments was to take the message of Jesus to all the nations. You and I must play some role in that. We're not all the same role, and God recognizes that in numerous places in the scripture. But we must all play some role. And God's church is designed for that purpose. Every Christian should play a part. Now, a second passage I ask you to turn to is Matthew 13, the great chapter of parables in the book of Matthew. And I will refer to just one verse, really. The parable I'm referring to is from 24 to 30. I don't intend to read all of that. That's the parable of the sowing of the seed in the field where somebody came along and sowed weeds, you remember? And they got all mixed up with the wheat. And then the question was, shall we go in there and try to pull all that out? And he said, no, wait till the end of the age or to the time of the harvest, and then we'll separate them. And then he went on to explain that parable down there beginning in verse 36. Let's look down there. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came and said, explain to us the parable of the tares in the field. And he answered and said to them, He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. And the tares are the sons of the wicked one. And that's all I want to read for that parable, because tonight my emphasis is on one thing. In that parable, ladies and gentlemen, he said the field is the world. So that's where the seed is to be sown, isn't it? And so in the message of Jesus in that parable, the field is the world, not Texas, not Tampa, Florida, where I'm from, but the whole world is the field. And so the message of that parable is the good seed needs to be scattered everywhere. Doesn't that fit perfectly with Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus said to his apostles, You go and take it to all nations. So here's one reason I wanted this slide tonight. I wanted to show you all the nations. There they are on the screen before you. You have any idea how many there are at this present time? Nowadays, you just Google a few buttons and you can find out. I happen to have done that. So let me share with you. There are 195 countries on earth and 63 colonies or territories. That's 258. Jesus said to his disciples, Go and make disciples of all nations. In 2012, that's 258. In those 258 nations, countries, territories, there are some 7.1 billion people scattered across all of those nations. And I would say to you, out of that 7.1 billion people, there are a host of people who have never heard about Jesus. We're not getting the job done, brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's much to do. And I am urging upon every child of God in this audience tonight, and please understand I'm talking to me. In fact, I've made a vow to myself that I will not preach a gospel meeting ever again without teaching this lesson or something very much like it. Because I need to be stirred up periodically myself, and I know you do too. I'm asking Christians, not what this church is doing, not what other congregations are doing, I'm asking you to dig deeply into your heart and answer, what am I doing to help this message get to all the nations? And what I want to challenge every Christian with is this. Isn't there something, Christian, that you can do beyond what you're presently doing to help the fulfillment of the cause of the Lord in the world? And what I hope by the time I finish tonight is that there's no way you can answer that question in the negative. So I'm telling you up front what I'm after. I want to do it for me, and I want to do it for you. And I want to do it in the kindest way I know how, but I also want to say to you at the very beginning, if you can stand before God one day and say, I have done everything I could possibly do, you're a better person than I am. You see, our world is only as big as we allow it to be. To some, it will never be any larger than themselves. Others might include a few people they know and care about. A few might include a whole state or even a nation. But Jesus said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus said, the field is the world. When Christ dwells in our hearts by faith, he calls us to look up from our lives to see the limitless world that stretches out in all directions about us. The world of which we are a part and which gives us nurture is a lesson in God's love. What God has planned for us is bigger than the Himalayan mountains, deeper than the dark depths of the Pacific Ocean, higher than the highest stars in the cold Canadian night, and broader than the Mongolian steppes. The breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, which passes beyond comprehension. You see, God's horizons are uncluttered and untouched by man's selfishness and prejudice. They are refreshing and beautiful and awe-inspiring. Things keep us from enjoying the view. Blindness keeps us from seeing what is there. We need to broaden and enlarge our vision to include all that God has intended and promised in His fullness. It is only when we draw near to God that we can rise from the polluted valleys of our selfishness and the grubby streets of indifference to the sharp, clear air of Mount Zion. A gaze that includes the very perspective of God Himself. Now, I read that to you because it was written by a gentleman that had a huge impact upon my life. His name was Jeff Kingery. Some of you knew him. Jeff and Anna Kingery are two of the most evangelistic people I've ever known in my life. Jeff was also a character who rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. But I will tell you, among our brethren, I don't know anyone that has had a greater impact upon me and lots of other folks about the necessity of broadening our vision. And I'm challenging you, Christian, tonight. I want you to broaden your vision. Your world is too small. So is mine. And if Jeff were with you here tonight, here's what he'd say. You need to rise above and see God's vision. You see, Jeff and Anna were some of the first among our brethren who went into communist China. I'll tell you how they got there. Anna is a science teacher, and she got a job teaching science in an American embassy school inside communist China. And she took Jeff along. And while they were there, Jeff was preaching to people. You know that in communist China to this day, that's not allowed. Well, they took all three of their teenage children with them over there to China. You think those kids wanted to go? One of them was starting high school. The other one was in middle school. The other one was just finishing up elementary school. They didn't, any of them, want to go, but they went. And they lived in China for about 6 months until Jeff got caught by the authorities preaching the gospel. And his family was asked to leave. And I tell you that story because before they left, they'd sold their house up in Milton, Vermont. They'd sold their possessions. They intended to stay over there several years. Now they've been summarily shipped out of the country back to the United States and had no place to go. They ended up in Tampa. And Marilyn and I decided we'd take them in. We had four children, they had three children, and then there were the adults. So our house was a little crowded. For several weeks, as we took them in and tried to help them get reestablished in this country, I want to tell you it's the best thing we ever did. Oh, we were crowded, and it was kind of interesting for a while, but every night, when I got home and we were sitting around our supper table, Jeff Kingery was saying, "Now, buddy, you got to broaden your vision. You and Marilyn need to do more than you're doing." And I'd tell him, "Look, I'm already working three jobs. I'm a busy person. I've got lots of things going." He said, "You have not broadened your vision." And he would not let up. He said, "I just came back from a trip from China around the world to get back to the United States, and everywhere I went, I saw millions who don't know anything about Jesus. And every step of the way, I was gathering information about people that I want to give to you so when you go over, you'll have original contacts." And it wasn't long after that that the wall came down in Berlin. You remember that? Thank you for nodding your head. Some of us remember when they danced on the wall in Berlin. And some of us remember when people crawled over that wall and were shot to death as they were trying to escape. And we were privileged to live to see the Eastern European countries opened up to the Western world. And it was five of us who went over there and got in a Volkswagen bus and traveled through all those countries and had Jeff Kingery's contacts in our hands. And every place we went, there was somebody to reach out to whom he had already touched, who was ready to listen to the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was incredible. And I could go on talking about that for the next hour. But here's what I'm telling you. Jeff and Anna Kingery, precious people that they are, were the first among our brethren into communist China in modern times. They were the first among our brethren into Kazakhstan. You don't even know where that is. To Almaty. And you know how they got in there? Anna had a teaching job and she took Jeff along. They were the first among our brethren in modern days into Indonesia, the largest Muslim country on the face of the earth. You know how they got in there? Anna got a teaching job and took Jeff along. I'm throwing hints out here, folks, in case you're not catching them. Jeff Kingery developed Parkinson's disease. I helped do his funeral about 3 years ago. It was a great loss. Who will pick up the banner? Our world is only as big as we allow it to be. I hope you'll allow yours to be bigger than it is. Turn to 2 Corinthians 8, the passage read for us just a moment ago. I realize that that chapter is not talking about evangelism. It's talking about benevolence. And it's talking about a terrible need in Judea and Jerusalem right about that time. There were Christians who didn't have enough to eat. And the apostle was saying to the church at Corinth and all the other churches of Macedonia and around that then known world, you need to help these folks over here in Judea right now and send to them. And if you were listening to the reading, the church at Corinth had decided to do something, as had the churches in Macedonia, out of their poverty. But they had more than the folks over there had. And then he makes this astounding statement, verse 12. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack. That principle applies to evangelism as well. We're going to be judged by what we have, not what we don't have. And what he says in this passage is, at this time your abundance can supply their lack. Think what we have, Americans, in the 21st century. So I've made a list here, and I want you to think with me. What do we have in the United States of America compared to any place else on earth? We have thousands of highly trained and fully qualified young men and women, and older men and women. In the United States of America, there are more New Testament Christians, as you and I would understand it, than in all the rest of the world put together. It is abundant in this country. In fact, I did some statistics some time ago, and they're a little bit dated, but not a whole lot. There are about 13,000 congregations in this country that call themselves churches of Christ. In all the rest of the world, there are about 13,000 congregations that call themselves Churches of Christ. And I'm talking about all our institutional brethren, all the flavors of people that call themselves Churches of Christ. But here's the worst issue. Of the churches in this country, their average size is 50. 50. In the rest of the country, the average size is less than 10. Now, if you do a little arithmetic on that, what you see is that the majority of New Testament Christians are located in this small piece of the world. And let me give you another statistic here. The population in the United States is 311,695,000. That's roughly 4.5% of the world's population. So that means there's one little piece of the globe, which contains only 4.5% of the world's population, contains well over 70% of the Christians on the face of the earth. Something wrong with that picture, folks. The Lord says, I'm not going to judge you by what you don't have. I'm going to judge you by what you do have. At this time, your abundance needs to supply their lack. And may I suggest to you, Christians, at this time, the United States of America has greater abundance than any other place on earth. We have hundreds of thousands of devoted Christians who are fully capable of giving encouragement and support to all who will go and preach. We have hundreds of thousands of dollars in church treasuries. We have millions of dollars in pocketbooks and bank accounts of God's faithful people who are more than willing to help and share if somebody will help them see how to do it. We have facilities beyond man's former imagination. We have planes that can take us anywhere on earth in a relatively short time for a relatively small amount of money. We have computers and TVs and radios and faxes and instant communication and email and texting and Twitter. The printed word is more easily available on earth than it's ever been in the history of mankind. There's an unusual political climate in our century. We have more freedom to go more places on earth than in the history of mankind for centuries and probably ever. I'll tell you what I think it's like. It's like our Lord is saying to us, look what I've done. What are you going to do about it? And here's another one you probably hadn't thought about. You were born into a family in which you were taught English from the time you were little. And I think, I know you all speak English. You may speak it at different levels of facility, but everybody in this crowd speaks English. Did you know, beloved, that in this century, that's the most spoken language and the most desired language on the face of the earth? I have presently in my life been in 28 different countries. I can tell you that in every one of those countries, the people who live in those countries either speak English or want to speak it. And you speak it. It's the language of commerce. It's the language of business. It's the language of politics. It is the universal language, and you speak it. The Lord's going to say to us one day, look what I put in front of you, Christians in the United States of America. What'd you do with it? So I'm asking you. I'm not just trying to browbeat folks. I'm talking to me. I want to ask you, what can you do more than you're doing to help to make disciples in all nations? And here's my goal from this point forward. I want to answer this question. What can I do? And I want to give you so many answers. I'm hoping in the next few minutes I can inundate you with things you can do so that something in that list will stir your heart to do more than you're doing now. That's what I hope. And if I don't get something that will touch you, Will you please understand there's 78 things I didn't get to? We will not begin to touch the hem of the garment tonight. But I believe there are two answers to this question. I can either stay at home and get involved in taking the gospel to the world, or I can go. I don't guess I have that slide on there. All right. The other option is I can go and get involved. I think that's the only two options. You can either stay home and get involved, or you can go and get involved. I don't believe you have any other options, nor do I. So let's talk about first staying at home, because most of you are not going anywhere. You like Texas. It's the promised land. And I will tell you, I'm a Texan, so I certainly understand this. But you don't have to go anywhere. You can stay right here and help the cause of the Lord around the world. So I began with ideas. And I hope you're going to listen with your heart. So first, you can pray for evangelists. You can adopt an evangelist and his family. You can support evangelistic efforts personally. I'm going to put all those together. And I don't mean this, beloved. I'm not trying to belittle anybody, but this is not what I mean. Dear Lord, please help all the people around the world who are preaching the gospel in difficult places, help them to be strong and faithful and lift their hands up. That's a wonderful prayer, just fine. That's not what I'm talking about. Here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about praying for people by name whom you've gotten to know and with whom you have connected. Because, folks, it is very easy to connect with people anywhere on earth in this age. That's part of what God's opened up to us. Most people in most places have some contact with a computer. Most people who are preaching the gospel have some connection by which you can make a direct touch with them. I haven't asked how many evangelists this church is supporting in other places. But I will tell you, if you say to me, well, I don't know any evangelists anywhere else, I will say to you, that is not an excuse. Because there are hundreds, if not thousands of them. Many of them speak English. There are plenty, folks, for every single Christian in this building to have somebody to connect to directly somewhere else on earth whom you will begin to pray for personally, adopt their family. Ideally, if you have children still at home, like some of these children over here, wouldn't it be wonderful to adopt a family somewhere on earth that had children about that same age and get your children all connected up with their children? So that the whole family now is praying and being connected with somebody somewhere else on earth while you stay right here. Couldn't we do that? I ask you, beloved, is there any reason on God's earth why every Christian in this church can't be connected personally with somebody somewhere else who's trying to spread God's gospel? Can you honestly say to God, well, I don't need to do that, when He's opened the world to you? Did you know there are places on earth where you can support an evangelist fully for $50 a month? Wouldn't it be good if you, out of your own pocket, helped somebody take the gospel in Ethiopia? And I want to tell you something about Ethiopia. Of the two places on earth where the gospel is spreading like wildfire, it's India and Ethiopia. There are thousands of New Testament Christians in Ethiopia. There are hundreds of men preaching the gospel. And a number of our brethren, whom many of you know personally, are going over there regularly. Here's what you should not do. Find a name of somebody in Ethiopia and try to ship him $50. Please don't do that. Get to know Bob Owen or Melvin Curry or David Curry or any of a host of others who are going over there regularly. Randy Harshbarger right down the road here from you. And find out who are the men over there in Ethiopia that deserve our support. Make sure you do it in the right way and don't overdo the money thing, but get yourself connected. Most of those fellows speak English. Why not? You will get so excited when you find out about some of the preachers in Ethiopia who get on their bicycle and ride as far as they can ride and then get off and walk for hours to go to a foreign village, a village a distance from them, and preach the gospel and baptize 50 people, then come all the way back home and preach at home and go back out there again. It's on and on and on like that. It'll fire you up so much you won't stop. I beg of you, Christian, connect with somebody somewhere else on earth. And if you don't know who to connect with, here's one place you can go. It's a website called evangelismupdate.com. It's not run by any church. You know why we have that website? It's because one brother decided we need information dispensed so that people will know what's going on around the world. And so he just started collecting reports from people and putting them out on the internet. This is nothing official. This is just a source of information. And I didn't ask Robert to try to pull this up. It's a good thing I didn't, Robert. But I do have some images here. See, there, if you Google Evangelism Update, that's what you'll get. And then you can click on this right here, and it'll pull up the website. So let me get over here out of the way a little bit. And there's a website of Evangelism Update. Now notice, everybody, you see all these countries over here? Those are the countries where they have reports from different evangelists in those countries. And you can click on the one you're interested in, and you can get inside there. So let's see, I forget which one I picked, but let's take one. Here's Colombia, South America, right here. Of course, you all knew exactly where that was, right? You know, Americans are wonderful at geography. Our reputation is that we know one language, and we can hardly find our own state on a map. That's the reputation Americans have. I hope that's not the case for you. I hope you're better at geography than that. Colombia, South America, ladies and gentlemen, has many churches of our Lord scattered around that country. 50 years ago, there were almost zero. I'll tell you primarily why that happened. It's because of Royce Chandler, who started and pushed that work and is to this day. And it's a wonderful story. But you want to connect up with somebody in Colombia, you click on that and you'll start seeing reports down here from Royce Chandler and a host of others. And all the other nations. So if you thought before, I don't know who else is out there, you can't say it anymore. Because this is only one of several websites that will lead you to lots of people. If you are determined to connect with somebody somewhere else on earth, there is no excuse if you have a computer. But I hope you want to do it. And it's not like it's going to take all your time. It's something easily fit in between what you do. And I can't tell you the difference it'll make in your life. At this present time, I get 50 reports from evangelists around the world. And I'll tell you why I do that. Every time I get one and read it, it stirs a fire in my bosom I can't put out. Let's see. Guys, when you came up here and did this, I had some papers over there. What'd you do with those papers? Because I can't find them. And I need one of them. Do you know what you did with them? All right. Could it be underneath that? Here they are. See, they took my papers and hid them. All right. That's what I get for laying them over there, isn't it? I need this one right here. This is a report from Denny Allen from Brazil. I want to say that again. If you don't get any other report from any other evangelist, get Denny Allen's report from Brazil. Write it down. Denny Allen from Brazil. This is from March of 2011. A very high percentage of our best opportunities come from publications offered in print and on the internet. The internet work has grown in ways I would never have imagined, and I'm thankful for the brethren who dedicate hours every week to make it work. Folks, they have a website in Brazil, and everybody in this audience knows what language they speak in Brazil, right? Portuguese. One of the most uncommon languages on earth. There is a website for the Church of Our Lord in Brazil in Portuguese. Let me tell you how that happened. Carl Henneke has been working on this for more than 15 years and continues to do an outstanding job of keeping the site going. Now I want to pause there a minute. We have techie guys in this audience. The Knapp's son is a techie guy. I know, because he plays video games. Let me tell you something you can do for the Lord's sake. Instead of playing a video game for 6 hours, how about helping a church somewhere on earth set up a website like they did for Brazil? So that now you get this kind of result. You listen to me, what's happened, because Carl Henneke took it upon himself to set up a website from Indiana. He didn't go to Brazil, he worked in Indiana. And what effect has it had? The main website offers a very wide range of Bible study materials, articles, outlines, questions and answers, audio sermons, classes. Most of what we've written and translated in the past 17 years is there. And more Brazilians are gaining access to the internet. If the trends this month continue for the next week, this will be the first month that the site gets more than 500,000 visits in 1 month. What's 500,000 times 12? That's 6 million visits a year on that website. And what are people going there for? Not to play video games. They're going to pull off Bible information in Portuguese. We also started working with videos a few months ago. We created a YouTube channel, but also embedded videos in our main site. They are simple productions, but are prepared specifically for that medium. Over the first 6 months, our total video views was about 10,000 per month. You need to get this report. Because what you'll find out is there is something you can do from the Bel Air area in Texas to help in Brazil. And with that fire in your bosom, you can go to Evangelism Update and check on China, Colombia, Czech Republic, Dominica, Hungary, India, Kazakhstan, Ethiopia, etc., etc., etc. There is no limit, brother and sister in Christ, to what you can be doing from right here to help take the message of Jesus somewhere else. There's South Africa. We had some South Africans here last night. You think it'd be good if you connected up with somebody in South Africa who's also helping Zambia and Namibia and Botswana and a host of other places over there? You can send correspondence courses and study with folks via the internet. There was a church in Indiana where the preacher decided, I need to broaden my vision. And he obtained 10 people in Nigeria who wanted to study the Bible by correspondence. They speak English. So he started sending those 10 people correspondence courses by regular snail mail. The next answer they gave him was, could you send that same lesson to our friend? And he then had 10 more. before 2 or 3 months were up, folks, he had 100 people in Nigeria wanting to study with him by correspondence. He couldn't keep up with it all. So he started asking the folks in the congregation, would you help me with this? Folks, in 6 months, almost every member of that church was studying the Bible with somebody in Nigeria by correspondence. Will you take that on, this congregation? You can be studying the Bible with somebody somewhere else on earth. And let me show you how to do it. You see this website, BibleStudyGuide.org? I happen to have it. There's when you Google it, BibleStudyGuide.org. I hope you're writing this down. And when you click on it, you'll get inside the website, and there it is. And this has been designed by a preacher down in Tampa who decided he wanted to make materials available to everybody on earth to study the Bible with someone. You don't have to make this up. It's already there. There's nothing you need to design. You can study the Bible with people on the internet with immediate feedback back and forth just by clicking on this website and starting sending those people's stuff electronically. So let's take a little look here. Here's an online Bible study. You've got lots of choices. You can do interactive Bible lessons, video Bible devotions, audio, topical scripture guide, e-books, all kinds of choices. Here's your interactive Bible lessons. Are you really sure of your eternal salvation? Are you worshiping God in spirit and truth? First principles, how to understand the Bible. There are sets of lessons already ready. You click on that and you go to one of those lines. Here's the first principles one. You can choose a lesson. Click on it. It has a series of questions and scriptures for people to read and study and answer questions. Everything's set up. See how much farther I went. Well, there's one. That's one of the studies. Here's the question. You answer the question. Here's another question, and so forth. I brought this screen back up again because I want to ask you, where on earth will you pick to be the place where you broaden your vision and you begin connecting with somebody? I want to throw a couple of places out at you because I know you don't know where they are. How about Seychelles? I won't ask for a show of hands. Some of you know where that is. Some of you don't even know how to spell it. And if you don't, I don't blame you because it's a French word. And the common language there is French, but a lot of people speak English. Seychelles. Did you know the Lord's church is in Seychelles? And there's a long story about how that happened. It happened by a very tall black man who's married to a white woman from Germany, and he went over there partly to teach people how to play basketball. But they also went to evangelize, and they helped start the church in that place. Well, there are Christians in Seychelles, and they need to connect up with other Christians around the world. I recommend Seychelles. How about Togo? Of course, you know where that is. There are Christians in Togo. It's a war-torn country, as are most of the countries in that part of the world. See, I'm not going to tell you where these are. I want it to drive you crazy till you go home and find out. And no fair looking on your internet right now. And by the way, can I add this in for what I said this morning? Why I don't like people scrolling on little machines? Because you can do 6 other things on those machines besides read the Bible. Right? Like be totally distracted. But I hope you're going to start thinking about somewhere on earth where you can broaden your vision. And I hope when you leave this evening, you cannot live with yourself until you start doing something you haven't been doing to help take the gospel to another nation. There is no excuse. Not for me, not for anybody. You can help evangelistic efforts here. You can learn a foreign language. My. I'm looking at young people here. Kids, will you look at me? Some of you are talking to each other. Look at me. Kids, while you're little, learn a language other than English. You know, when you're less than 10 years old or even less than 16, your brain is not so fixed in place that it can still mold itself to learn another language. I went to Romania when I was 45 and I tried to learn that language. It drove me crazy. And I was just trying to cram it in and it would not stick. My son, who was 13, never took the first lesson and was translating at the Lord's table before we left there. Made me sick. And he was fluent in Romanian. Learn a language, young people, while you're young. Who knows where God's going to send you? If somebody had told me when I was your age, I'm going to end up preaching the gospel in Bucharest, Romania, I would have said, where? But that's exactly what happened to me. And I hope it happens to you something similar. You don't know where God's taken you. So broaden your vision. Or you can go and get involved. And this is going to be very short, because most of you aren't going anywhere. But maybe somebody will. You can go on short journeys and do lots of good. There's a group of people right now in Romania from whom I got a report yesterday. They just baptized two people in Constanza. I'm so thrilled I can hardly stand here. And the little churches that we planted over there are still hanging in there. And there are faithful Christians over there I love dearly to the depths of my being. And Marilyn does too, because we put our heart and soul into them for 2 years. And they're still standing. And by the way, you want to connect with somebody? I'd love to connect you with Marianne and Gabby Otvos, who have 3 children. And they are wonderful at English. And they'd love to hear from you. You can go on short journeys and do a lot of good if they're well planned and you go with somebody who knows what he's doing or she's doing. You can go on vacations. Look, ladies and gentlemen, why wouldn't it be good? And I'm talking to grandmothers and grandfathers and parents, because you have the money to do this, maybe. You're planning a vacation to Disney World? Fine, we want you to come to our state and spend all the money you can. We need it. Florida builds on tourism. That's fine. I'm not against that. But what if you took 1 year, Christian, and you decided this year, instead of going into Disney World and spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars on our own fun, this year we're going to go somewhere else on earth and we're going to spend the whole time working for the Lord's cause in that place. See, we had a family do that for us while we were in Romania. And here's what they wrote us ahead of time. They said, we're coming and we're not staying with you, because we would have taken them into our little 2-room apartment. They said, no, we're getting our own place to stay, and what we're there for is to do what you tell us to do. We're going to do anything we need to do. They went to our place of worship and they swept up the cigarette butts and they put the chairs up for us. They got out on the streets and handed out flyers to people in the streets with us. They came to worship with us and sang so beautifully. It was like the birds had lifted us. And that precious family that had 3 children told me some years later that their children have repeated to them over and over again, that's the best vacation we ever had. Because the whole time was spent serving. And they loved it. Can you decide, Christian, this year we're going to take all the money we spend on ourselves for vacation and we're going to spend it for the Lord's sake? You can. And there are many places on earth that would be thrilled to have you come. Or you can take longer journeys. I have to tell you one more story. Are you a school teacher? I want you to become another Anna Kingery. Let me tell you how this works. If you teach at an international school in some other country, and you get hired in the United States, they will pay your travel, they will pay you a nice salary, which is tax-free up to $70,000. They will fly you home once a year to see your family. Over there, they'll supply you an apartment and pay your utilities and provide you transportation. Is that a pretty good deal? And you can go over with the avowed purpose. Oh, you're going to teach in that school, all right. Maybe you're like me, you'll teach math all day long. But you know what you do in the evenings and on weekends? You help the work of the Lord in that place, just like Anna and Jeff did. And you can make a difference. And you don't have to ask one church for one dime because you're fully supported. Now, why don't we have more Christians thinking like that? I guarantee you, folks, there are lots of jobs where you can plan to do some overseas work, and you do it not because you're trying to get rich, but to help the work of the Lord. But Christians in America don't think that way. We're too comfortable. Or you can move your family, as Marilyn and I did for 2 years. I can tell you it's the best thing we ever did. We quit our jobs and said, we're going. And we took our son with us, and it was life-changing. Not everybody can do that, but somebody can. And the places on earth where it's needed are innumerable. Innumerable. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 2 said, the things you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. That's God's plan. And the only reason it does not work is because faithful people don't teach faithful people who can teach somebody else. But if we do make it work, it works. That's how they took the gospel to the whole world in the first century. Not because somebody had some grand plan that some church somewhere worked out. No, it's because faithful people taught faithful people who taught other people. We must broaden our vision, beloved. And I feel very inadequate because I didn't throw enough ideas at you. But if you didn't get one that just kind of caught you, would you please talk to me later and I'll throw 6 more at you? There's no limit to this. And I'm going to be praying fervently that this church will become so on fire for evangelism in all the nations. You know what will happen to you if you start doing that? You'll start evangelizing this country too, because your bosom will be so full of fire. There'll be no stopping you. I pray it with all the fervency of my being for you and for me. That's my lesson for tonight. Thank you for your good attention. If you were in Romania at our service, we would end the service like this. Let's have a prayer, brothers and sisters. And we'd go home. They don't do an invitation song over there. I think some American Christians would have a heart attack. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a tradition. It's okay. It's an okay tradition. But let's not be binding that as something God requires of us at the end of every service. It's a good thing. I love it because there may be somebody here tonight that's almost ready, like we hear about in Scripture. Almost you persuade me to be a Christian. and maybe singing a song and lifting our voices that says, why don't you do this tonight? We'll help you decide. And we don't want to leave here if you're ready to obey the gospel and you haven't done it yet. So that's why we do it. And a song is a good further encouragement. So we've picked one, and if you're ready to become a Christian, we hope you'll do it right now, or come and ask for the prayers of this group. And I'll tell you what else I hope. This same song will say to every Christian in this audience, I've got to get busy and broaden my vision. Thank you, and let's stand and let's sing.